to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is the sermon for January 28, 2024, the fourth Sunday after Epiphany, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
So customarily at this service, I, instead of a typical sermon, give my annual address, kind of a state of the union for our parish. And so that's what I'm going to do today. That's why I'm mostly reading this instead of preaching extemporaneously. I will say our scriptures give us some wonderful ideas about the difference between worshiping idols and worshiping the true God. And I want to say that everything we are and everything we do at St. Philip's needs to always have that in mind. It's so easy to get caught up in the things of this world, right? Worldly success and power. We always say, how come we're not a huge church like one of the churches down the road? How come our budget isn't millions of dollars like another church down the road? We tend to think in human terms, but the scriptures always bring us back to our true calling, which is to be faithful to God's call to us and rejoice in the blessings that God has given to us. And that's where I start this morning, with a sense of rejoicing. This past year has been a really wonderful one for me personally, and also, I believe, for St. Philip's as a congregation. There are tons of highlights. I can't possibly talk about them all, and I can't possibly mention all the wonderful people who have done so much to be faithful to God's call in this place over the past year. I encourage you to read the annual report, if you haven't already, to get a sense of how much progress we have made in so many different areas over the past year. There are some printed copies of the annual report. We also have it available online. It's on the website, and you can read it over at your leisure. This morning, I would like to mention a few areas that really stuck out for me as I thought back over this past year. And they fall into four basic areas: new members, new leaders, new energy, and new vision. So first, new members. Last year, I led a year-long inquirers class. People participated in person and also online. All of the videos from that class are available. So if you're interested in learning more about the Episcopal Church, our history, our theology, our approach to scripture, our approach to social issues, all those videos are on the website and available. You're welcome to watch them at your leisure and bring any questions you have to me. We will be offering more of those classes in the future for our new members. In June, after that class concluded, I think a record number for us, 22 people were confirmed or received by Bishop Perry at St. John's in Royal Oak. The bishop asked me that day, she said, "Did you bring your whole church to get confirmed today?" It wasn't the whole church, but it was 25% of our average Sunday attendance was either confirmed or received that day. Wave your hand if you were one of those people. Yeah, nice. And thanks to many people's ministry, including the greeter ministry, Sharon Sucris leading that. She wants me to tell you, we are always looking for more greeters. Please see her afterwards. It's a really neat way, especially if you're new, to get to know people. I want to thank Rich Knapp and his wife for at 8 o'clock being our greeters as well. That's been really helpful. We continue to welcome new people, and that is a really important part of our ministry. I joke with people when they join the church, some of you may have heard this spiel, that it's a great time to be new at St. Philip's because we have so many new people that whatever old cliques used to exist have kind of busted apart, right? It's a wonderful time to get to know people and to not feel like you're the only new person. And so I hope that process will continue, and I hope we continue to have a heart for making space for new people, because that is so important in our evangelism, so important in our sense of community as well. And in this community, part of that is making room for new leaders. And we've had so many new people step forward in different roles. Not always new people, but new roles that people are taking on. Just a few, and I'm sure I'll forget some, but Dean and Deb Tierney are taking on being liaisons for Rochester Area Neighborhood House. Tom West has been our liaison over the past year, and before that, Elaine Hernandez. And that is a really important link that we intend to continue and to strengthen. Pat Wagner stepped in after Bev Vella stepped down as our wonderful Sunday school director, director of religious education. Pat Wagner stepped in as a volunteer to run Sunday school every Sunday. Think about that, every Sunday. Pat, thank you so much for taking that role on. We will be looking for a new DRE. Pat does not want to do this forever. She can't. It's not a role that one person can do as a volunteer forever. So please be praying about that, because that's an area of our church that I think we still need to really work on and to invite God's direction and leadership, ministry with and for our young people. Michelle Ward led a Bible study this fall while I was on sabbatical on the Gospel of John. We have a new property committee, which you'll hear more about during the meeting. Thanks to Rich, a men's group got started this year. Now, for a variety of reasons, it hasn't been able to meet recently, but that was a really injection of wonderful new vision and ministry in our church. We are exploring starting a new women's spirituality group. There's just energy bubbling up with people coming to me with new ideas and opportunities for ministry. Several members, led by Barb Staniszewski, have started a new social justice committee to help us focus on the needs of those in our wider community. You may have heard some about that at a forum recently. And many others of you have stepped into new roles or new people stepping into positions of leadership. And that is critical. It's so easy in a smaller church for us to just rely on the same people over and over to do that ministry. I do want to give a shout out to a couple of women who have been doing that for years with our youth group, that is Jane and Kathy, who have been faithfully shepherding our teenagers and young adults. And just so grateful to both of you for that ministry. That's probably an area where we also need some new people, right, to begin to take some leadership. So I hope you'll be praying about that as well. Another area is new energy. So when I was praying about the sabbatical last year, that's what I was praying for, is just an injection of more energy. You know, people often give me way too much credit for the good things that happen at St. Philip's, but I know the truth. It is you who make the difference here. This past Holy Week and Easter, our biggest week, the high holy days of the church, I was sidelined by COVID, perhaps the worst timing of COVID in history. I missed all of Holy Week and Easter, but you know what? It didn't really matter. The church went on, thanks to Father John and to my wife who stepped in. And my wife who stepped in for the Easter vigil, and to many lay people, the services all went on and were great. I was able to worship on Zoom, which was a really weird thing for me to be doing here. And then again, during the fall, for 3 months, I was off gallivanting all over the world on my sabbatical. And I think there was some anxiety, at least I had some anxiety. How are things going to go? You know, can this church make it without me? And the answer was a resounding yes. All of the ministries of the church not only went on, but in some cases, they even got better. In 2022, I made a lot of pastoral visits. I was very proud of myself for all of the pastoral care. I brought communion to homebound parishioners. But in 2023, and in part because of the sabbatical, we as a parish doubled that number of visits. You know why? because you all stepped up. A pastoral committee, a pastoral care committee was formed to make sure that our sick and homebound parishioners were cared for while I was away. I know the people who made those visits found them very satisfying and wonderful, but I have heard since I got back from the people who were visited just how much those visits meant, the sense that the church had not forgotten. One of the things that people feel as they become more isolated with illness or age is they feel forgotten by the church, by the world, sometimes even by their own families. And so those visits, that ministry of compassion and caring, the sacraments of the church all connected them back to God and to this parish family. And I can't thank you all enough for making sure that that and so many other vital ministries carried on without missing a beat. It's really good to know that I am not that important and necessary. I want to thank the vestry as well. Jen Hatchett, our senior warden, Gary Vella, our junior warden, and the whole group for their extraordinary leadership, particularly during that time, but also always in so many ways, visible and invisible, they pray for and care for and lead this congregation. And also I'm so grateful, and I hope you are, for our wonderful staff. We are really blessed here with phenomenal people who each go above and beyond the call of duty. We don't pay them very much, but they do a lot for the ministry of this church. Irene, our parish administrator, Jane, our bookkeeper, Jim, our director of music, Bev Vella, our DRE, and now Pat, leading the Sunday school, Brian, our sexton, who cares for the building, and of course, Father John, who I was amazed, you know, at first I wasn't sure if he was going to be around much last fall, but then he was, and he had a ministry of sort of being in the background, making sure that things were cared for. And that quiet ministry behind the scenes of prayer and love is deeply appreciated, I think, by all of us, John. So thank you. Finally, new vision. When I came to St. Philip's in 2017, the work was obvious. We had lost a number of parishioners over the past several years. We were struggling with different visions. It was sort of centered on the front porch project. You remember that? Rick, you're here. You remember that. The endless discussions of the front porch. John Garman, you are here. You remember that. And that was kind of a symptom and a symbol of competing visions about who we were and what kind of church we wanted to be. We were dealing with financial scarcity in a number of ways. The image I had was that we were in a hole and we were trying to dig our way out, which, when you think about it, it's not always the best way to get out of a hole, is it? Digging. But you get the idea. A few years later, by the end of 2019, the narrative had drastically changed. We had gotten through the front porch project. We were still coping with challenges, but we were experiencing abundance again in members and finances. The Sunday school and youth group were doing well. New people and new ministries were emerging. Then, of course, in March of 2020, we and the whole world were given another challenge, COVID. Suddenly, on a dime, we had to rethink everything about church. And to our credit, we persevered. We figured out online worship. We found ways to support each other, to keep a sense of community, and to reach out beyond ourselves. Though, sadly, we are still dealing with COVID. By 2023, by last year, I felt like we were beginning to regain a sense of normality. And it felt almost miraculous, but we emerged at St. Philip's from the worst of COVID in many ways stronger than before. Thanks in large part to online worship, new members had found us and then showed up in person. In June of 2023, as I mentioned, 22 people were confirmed or received by the bishop. And many of those new members came ready to participate and ready to lead, taking part in our ministries and emerging as key and vital leaders in this congregation. Numbers are not everything, and they can be an idol, but they do help to tell the story. In 2023, our average Sunday attendance, which is a key marker of church vitality, topped 100 for the first time in over 10 years. Now, some of our older members remember when that was a tiny number, when we had hundreds of people here. But think about that. After 10 years, we got back to that number, over 100 last year. And while we began the year with a budget deficit of over $40,000, we ended the year essentially even. And you'll hear a lot more about that from Jack Anderson, our treasurer, and Jonathan Lindley, our chair of our finance and stewardship committee. We tackled another in our series, endless series of big building projects, by replacing the flat roof over our offices. Thanks to a series of exceptional junior wardens and members who have stepped up to help, we have begun to catch up on years of deferred maintenance. We may not be totally out of the hole, but now we can see the top. We still have a little ways to go before we are completely financially sustainable. But over the past 7 years, think about all we have done. We have ended each year essentially with a balanced budget. We have replaced the front entrance of the church, replaced all of the rooftop HVAC units, and there seem to be an infinite number of those. Gary, you can tell me how many, but there's a lot of units up there. We have replaced two of our three roofs. We have patched the worst parts of the parking lot. We've replaced flooring in the church here, in the basement, and carpet in the entrance and parlor and up here by the altar, among many other projects. And you can read Gary's report for a list of just this past year. Thanks to your generosity, we have substantially upgraded our live stream technology. As I mentioned last summer, I found myself last year feeling a little burned out. In my prayers, I discerned that I felt called to stay here at St. Philip's, at least for a few more years. Who knows how long it will be, but no end point in sight. To make that possible, I took a sabbatical to recharge my emotional and spiritual batteries. And boy, did it. What a privilege and what a joy to have the luxury of time. Time to visit the people in my life I have lost touch with. Time to travel. Time to reflect. Now I am so glad to be back at St. Philip's and so excited to see where the next few years take us. I feel right now that we're in a wonderful moment at St. Philip's, a time when we have accomplished so much, as I mentioned, close to the top of that hole, really feeling a sense of God's abundance and purpose. But it is not a time to rest on our accomplishments, because that leads to kind of stagnation. But it's time to cast a new vision. We're experiencing, as I mentioned, a change of leaders in many facets of church life. We have ideas bubbling up from this congregation of new opportunities for ministry. What we need is a clear path forward. Over the next couple of months, I would like to invite you to participate in a visioning process. We will take our existing mission statement, which is fantastic, which talks about feeding the mind, the heart, the soul, and the body. And we will see where we are and where we are called to be. We'll work together to establish some clear goals for the next year, 3 years, and beyond. Then the vestry, your newly elected vestry, will take these goals and we'll work to implement them in our ongoing work. I think it's time for us to dream a little bigger. I invite you to watch the epistle for details. I invite you to pray for this process and to pray for God to show you ways that you as individuals can use your gifts to glorify God and to build up the church. We know that God is with us. We feel his presence in our worship, in our community, in our relationships. Let's let God lead us into an exciting new chapter for St. Philip's Parish. I can't wait to see what God has in store for us. Amen.